Hey, welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
This is the show where we drop knowledge on you, geek knowledge, and we have a lot of knowledge to drop on
Lots
you
Lots of E3 knowledge this
E3
time.
Has been going on since Monday, and...
In my brain hole.
I think I'm calling the show, like, E3 Baby Wow. Like,
Baby
that's
Wow.
Like, Space Dandy type, you know. We open the entire thing up with Helix Nebula by Anamanaguchi. We have all of our cut-and-dried audio and all of our news, reviews, opinions, blog posts, and... Some pretty sexy imagery, I think, on the website. Bear, what is the website?
Our website's exppoints.com, and double tap the P.
We also have a social media landing page where you can check out Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, Steam community, all that stuff. You can go to exppoints.com/social. Check all that out. Like, subscribe if you would like to. We're going to cut to a song, come back, briefly talk about what we did the last week. This is, we're going to play Epic Rap Battle, the Einstein versus Hawking.
Hawking's. That's one of my favorites.
Song. Yeah, this is going to be good. We're going to play that. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to this on 90.9 FM.
KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was the Epic Rap Battle, Einstein versus Hawking by Epic Rap Battle. Let's talk really briefly about what we did last week. Bear, go.
Last week, my two big things were I went and saw the Warcraft movie.
Very cool. What'd you think?
Okay. I'm going to lean towards exactly how I did with Batman versus Superman.
If you haven't seen that, go to the site, listen to it, but go ahead and quickly take us back.
All right, take us back. Well... Batman vs. Superman got a lot of really negative feedback,
yeah,
right?
People didn't expressly love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there may have been some, like, death threats sent out or something.
Ben Affleck was even more sad than...
than depressed Batman.
Yeah.
But, that movie, in my opinion, wasn't bad, per se. It wasn't good, but it was definitely worth maybe finding on your hard drive and watching one.
It was worth the 2 hours.
Yeah, it was worth 2 hours, okay. Maybe not the $10.
Okay, not worth the money, worth the time, yeah. At least once.
Warcraft. Again, I think a lot of people have very high expectations.
Well, you're a WoW fan.
I'm back from Warcraft whenever we got banned from our school because, you know, devil or something.
Right.
But anyway.
Devil or something.
Yeah.
Devil or devil. I can't believe it's not Satan, you know? Like,
I would buy that.
Some crazy Hot Topic type of novelty.
Wow, back when a Hot Topic was industrial.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it followed the storyline of the orcs originally coming to Azeroth.
Okay, so Warcraft 1, Warcraft 2.
Exactly.
It's effectively what Warlords sort of overwrote.
Yes, okay. Yes. And again, it relied on actually some base knowledge of what had happened and what was going on, who these characters were. There's no character development in this film. So
okay.
It's an issue for anyone who's not part of the franchise, who's never played the games and doesn't know the lore to begin with.
That's kind of unfortunate because I would think that this is, you know, it's a movie by or for the fans, not necessarily by the fans. I mean, sure, it's by Blizzard and they're definitely fans of their own products.
Yeah.
You know, who knows the lore, I guess, better than Metzen or, you
right.
know, Morheim or something. But it's strange that they're not trying to attract new people by actually developing like a cinematically told story from the ground up with character development.
I do feel that was a missed opportunity for them to appeal to a new audience.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you look at, like, say something like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings. They right. develop those characters because
it's definitely not a Lord of the Rings.
They're assuming that you have never ever read the books, or that maybe you haven't read the books, or certainly maybe you haven't read the books before you went and saw the movie, so you know everything that's going on in the universe.
Right.
You know?
And that would have been a better approach, I think, for Blizzard to take. The biggest issue I had with the film is that the amount of storylines they had going on and things that they were setting up for and everything, there's just too much they shoved into 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
They should have just stuck to, like, one more singular storyline and developed the characters along the way.
Yeah.
So you would have empathy. Like, I didn't really care when someone died. Like, I'm like, I know who that is and that sucks that they died, but I felt more sympathetic in the games,
right.
honestly.
Right, no. You battle alongside this person. Here, you just kind of, you're not interacting with it at all. You know, you're purely consuming.
But if had they developed that character to me through characterization and given me a reason to care. Oh, and then there's a love story that makes no sense randomly. I didn't even call it until it's just like, oh, that's a thing that happened. That's not really a spoiler. You'll figure it out, trust me.
Or you won't.
Or you won't. And you'd be like, man, that jerk. So I did that, and then I finally got in my new laptop.
I see your new toy.
Yeah,
I'm on the heat side of the laptop.
I can't really. Is it warm on your end?
It's a little warm over here. Yeah, nice, but no, that's nice. Okay. It's got USB-C.
It does have two USB-C ports.
An HDMI, a network jack.
HDMI,
looks like a weird power adapter. And a lot
ton
of,
more of USB ports on the left and right
a
sides.
A lot of... oh, I see that. Yeah,
down this side. Very there's cool. one over here. This is a Lenovo P70.
I can barely see you over it,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, it's giant. It's a 17-inch laptop. Yeah. It's actually running a Xeon processor.
That's a server-grade.
Yeah.
Nice.
Server-grade processor.
How's the battery?
I don't know. I had it plugged in. This is my first time on
battery.
It's been
on battery since we set foot
in
the station.
Here,
so.
And it says I'm at 92%.
Wow, 8% so. In the first 10 minutes of the show. Great.
I did play Fallout 4 on it while we were sitting here.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
on battery. So, I mean, I'm assuming that took something. Anyway, it's giant and powerful. So that's what I was looking for out of a computer.
Yeah, you were looking for a desktop replacement, I guess. You'll have to do a little write-up, do a little review. And,
I will, and I will actually do that for you guys. And especially because I'll compare it to my last laptop, which I still have and I'm going to keep, the Lenovo 100S.
Right.
So I literally...
It's night and day.
Yeah, I have a picture I'll put on the website, too, of where I was comparing the size of them. But it's literally, I went from Lenovo's lowest-end computer to their literally highest-end computer.
Right. Casio like calculator to a superstation. Nice.
Yeah, so it's great. It's
very
wonderful.
Cool.
I've been enjoying it.
So you're getting back into the gaming scene. We were actually discussing, you know, what
to install.
I was
running out of devices to game on, and I'm kind of on a radio show about gaming. Not specifically, but it's a big part of what we'd like to talk about.
So you're getting back into it. That's good.
Yeah, I'm getting back into it.
You know what you
That's
can definitely
good.
Do on this thing?
You
can definitely update things on the blog.
You
can
definitely like that one.
You can definitely put things up online.
Oh, what a good shot. Yeah, I love you too, good. Heart. So, yeah, that's, I guess,
very
the summary
cool.
of what I did last week. What's up with you?
I got back into Planet Base. I've been watching a lot of E3. That's what
okay.
we've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly
you're,
what
you're
doing.
About to, you know, I'm going to cut mine short because we're going to talk about a lot of E3 stuff. Now, I got back into Planet Base. They had an update fairly recently, and I saw that come across Steam, and I said, hey, you know what? Let me load back Planet Base. You build a base on different types of planets, and it's pretty neat. And the problem that I always went with playing first whenever I downloaded it was I wanted to get everything quickly. Like, I wanted to build up my base very fast, and okay. it's a very patient game. You have to be very patient with it, and I wasn't, so my base would get to a certain point and then fold and collapse in on itself.
Yeah.
But now I've sort of learned you take it low and slow, and you know, oxygen is more important than industry. You have to
you
get
should probably
the,
be alive.
You have to be alive and don't let your engineers just wander around. You gotta tell them what to do. I also started playing Rise of the Tomb Raider. That's the second Tomb Raider game featuring the rebooted Lara Croft, and I really, really enjoy it. And actually, I bought the definitive version of Tomb Raider. Even though I own the PC version, I bought the console version because it's only like $5.
Oh, okay.
And well, I have forever played Tomb Raider on console before, you know, before I had a computer, really, and when it was a PlayStation-only game. So I'm looking forward to playing it back on PS4 and doing that. Oh, I also, now we can actually start having Rock Band parties. Because
you know how long I've been waiting on
finally,
this crap.
And it wasn't recently. I
blame Matt completely.
It was Harmonix.
Yeah.
It came through a different Reddit thread or Reddit subreddit that I was on that they finally allowed Rock Band 2 songs to be imported into the PS4. So now all the Rock Band 2 songs came in. I got Rock Band Blitz. All the Rock Band Blitz songs are in there. So we have like an additional 70 to 80 to 90 songs. And soon they're going to do the Green Day, so we can do
oh, yeah,
you
so
know,
we can
all
depressing.
All of the, hey, you know, I like a lot of those albums, a lot of those songs. But all those four chords and different arrangements.
That's pretty much
but,
I'm
yeah,
not
so going
to lie. I liked Green Day, too.
We're going to cut to a song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about just a blast of E3 knowledge. This is Outbreak by Saber Pulse. We'll catch you after the break. You're hearing this here exclusively on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Outbreak by Saber Pulse. Let's jump into E3, baby. Wow.
Baby,
as
wow.
I am calling it.
Hey,
E3's been happening.
Cool stuff going on.
E3's been happening since Monday, and we're going to try to break into this in no particular order.
I'm going
to
follow your lead
it'll,
on this
It'll
one.
Probably be more like the order it was released or the order it was announced, and that's going to be a combination of games and hardware, depending on where and when it was announced. So let's just kind of jump.
A lot to cover.
Let's just jump
it.
Into it. We'll try to break it up after we've been talking for a good bit. Fallout 4 is getting new DLC, which I think is pretty awesome. So,
and now I have a computer and I can catch up on Fallout 4
finally,
and all the DLC.
You can finally do
Yay.
It. So there's contraptions, which I think are coming like next week or something.
Yeah. Is that the like the
Like conveyor belts, Rube Goldberg machines, just little ball things where you can drop like bearings. Little pinballs back and forth, ball bearings. So it's really cool. Like that's it's almost
cool
not
stuff.
Functional. I mean, it is functional because you can have things, events in the game or events in the virtual world, sort of toggle traps or toggle, you know, little things. It's pretty much like what Minecraft.
I was about
did.
To say they're really moving towards Minecraft with the creator series,
right? Right.
Things.
So there's a lot of creation,
is cool.
A little bit later, you're going to have Vault Tech Workshop, which is coming in July. Vault Tech Workshop allows you to build your own vault,
which is awesome.
Which is a lot of the deals, a lot of the mods that have been coming out for Fallout 4 have already used the content. This is an official DLC that will allow you to actually build into the ground and do all of that. So really, really nice stuff. And I don't think we have prices for anything. But the beta is, yeah, they cost dollars. I imagine it'll be like $25 to $50 for the season pass version 2. But the next thing is Nuka World. Nuka World is...
Which does look entertaining.
It looks pretty awesome. It is...
I wish they would actually make a Nuka World.
It's an abandoned theme park controlled by raiders in a completely new region. Is super wasteland, open zones just everywhere. So there's a Safari Adventure, Dry Rock Gulch, Kitty Kingdom, and Galactic Zone.
that's going to be some fun
which
DLC.
Which is pretty cool. Will be able to lead lethal gangs of raiders into rival settlements and bending the Commonwealth to your will. So that's pretty cool. Which is really, really nice. So we're going to move on actually to Xbox One news. So Microsoft threw out, new hardware, the Xbox One S. That's the slim or small or whatever. Which is slightly more powerful.
I can't wait for Apple to sue them over an S.
It's slightly...
You laugh. I'm waiting.
It's slightly more powerful than the original Xbox One. Yeah. So
basically the Xbox One started eating healthy and went to the gym.
Well, yes. So 4K video support for like TV stuff, upscaling. Apparently there's this... In some games, some games that are supported for the S and Scorpio and the regular one, it will allow it to make use of something called like dynamic resolution or something like that, where you can scale to 30 and 60 frames depending on how much power you have and what mode the game is in. So like 30 for single player, 60 for multiplayer. In this case of Gears of War 4, which was we saw a lot more gameplay. So there's a lot of wiggle room for that. Also, we got some Xbox Project Scorpio specs, and it's got 5.9 teraflops, which I think it's running the AMD's R9 390. I'm sorry, is it 6 or 5.9? I think it's 5.9. That it says it's going to have dynamic high dynamic range HDR. It'll be Oculus ready or the equivalent. It'll run regular games at 4K, so there will be that upscale resolution.
Right.
We'll see more bandwidth for your memory, for your RAM, just tons of stuff. There's also moving some stuff around though. Like they're getting rid of that dedicated
Kinect
port.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess that's honestly the final nail in the coffin for Kinect. I think we're done.
I would hope so.
Like,
I would hope so.
The Kinect technology, and I'll be honest with you, the Kinect technology was cool. I played with one, actually not even connected to an Xbox, just in development mode.
Yeah.
And it did some cool things. I actually played air hockey remotely with one.
I think for a development type thing, then yeah, cool. But
it
for
was
like
a good idea. It was like the Leap Motion was a good idea, but...
Right. And you have to implement it properly. Anywhere. And if you don't, then you don't. So that's kind of where we're at with that.
So, yep. Kill it.
Titanfall 2.
Go ahead. They are going to sell an adapter where you can hook it up.
Yes, yes.
So you're not, you didn't lose your Kinect.
It'll be a USB adapter, and I think they're adding more USB ports on the back or something. So
game or something. I don't know.
Which I always like the idea of having USB ports on the back because I might have some peripherals or a hub or something that I don't want a dongle hanging off the front of my consoles.
Yeah.
That's just me, but I mean, I feel it's not probably not just me.
It's not.
But okay, Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 2. Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Titanfall.
Yeah. So,
but I'm not a huge fan of online multiplayer first-person shooters.
I don't mind the first-person shooter aspect of it. I hate that that's all Titanfall 1 was.
That's my problem. I used to be a huge fan back in high school. I was all into Counter-Strike 1.6 and then Source. Some point I really got out of that and went more to single player type thing, like RTS.
I want a good quality experience, and I feel like the more people you add to an experience, and if it's done wrong, you don't get that experience to be really quality, high quality experience.
Now, I will say the experience in Titanfall 1, it was always at a really great sense of accomplishment. It was really epic whenever you were able to call the Titan in.
Right.
I felt like the Titan actually had force to change what was happening on the field.
Right, yeah. I felt that they balanced some things after the first maybe month or two. They balanced it really well.
Without being too overpowered.
Right.
So, I thought that was nice. I am really looking forward to a first-person single-player story.
The big deal here, Titanfall 2, you get a grappling hook. You get to spin and jump around. Super parkour, really nice. But there's actually a first-person component to it. You are in a
single
Titan.
Player.
A single-player component to it. I believe your Titan was owned by a different pilot.
Someone else.
And then you and the Titan have to band together, and it sort of imprints on you.
I must say, here's an interesting thing. The Titans themselves are sentient.
Right.
And have to imprint on their pilot.
Right. So you get sort of this big open up to the world of Titanfall. And the nice thing is, we're getting it this year. We're getting it October 28th.
Right. I am.
So that's Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC. Sorry, no love for you, NX, and Wii U.
Wow.
As if you could run it. You big lame
console. I'm going to defend Nintendo and say that's not their target.
Nope.
That's...
Their target is literally just first party games, it seems.
Okay.
More on the most disappointing part of E3 later. The E3 or the Nintendo Treehouse, but whatever.
There was a good part in it.
There was only one.
Fine.
Let's talk about Prey because we talked about Prey a while back.
I was confused and then excited.
Prey is an awesome game. Original Prey, I think it came out in what, 99, 98, something like that.
Way underappreciated game.
It was you were an Indian American or Native American.
Be politically correct. Jeez.
You were a Native American on a reservation. You wanted to get off of it. You were in the army or whatever. And you
got off of it.
Off of it by being abducted by aliens, and you spend the entire game trying to, you know, save your girlfriend. But anyway, it had a lot of really cool mechanics, gravity walking, a bunch of that stuff.
The gravity was the really cool thing.
We were looking at that. That was one of the last games I remember playing that was super interactive. In the first 15 minutes, there was much content, you know.
Yeah, but you could interact, I think, with literally any object.
Right, you could pick things up, move it around. Portals were there, different mirror type portal windows and camera windows. It really, really nice. Prey 2. It had a show in at E3, I think 2013, 2014 maybe, and just nothing ever manifested from it. It was this cinematic.
Kind of fizzled out.
It was a cinematic thing, and then it changed developers. Anyway, Prey, Prey 2016 or Prey 2017. I don't know that we're getting it this year. It was completely
different.
Completely. Whenever I said Prey 1, it actually came out in 2006, 98.
Wow.
I don't know what I was saying.
Oh,
sorry.
98.
Yeah, it was 2006.
I usually don't think things are older.
Yeah, no, I was really bad. Anyway, this Prey is a complete redo. It's not a sequel or a remake. It's Prey.
It looks like a different story.
Yeah, it looks like a completely different story. We're not making the second one. We're not redoing the first one. We're just doing a different one.
But we got the name.
Right. We got
for all
what's
the good LD, yeah.
Morgan. Yeah, we got the main character's a guy named Morgan. He looks like he's in this weird Groundhog Day scenario where he keeps waking up and
I mean that's what the preview kind of showed, and his eye keeps getting redder.
Yeah,
I could think it was Cowboy Bebop because I just watched that and I'm like, man,
right,
he's on red eye.
He's on red eye. No. So it looks really, really good. There's residential settings, there's sci-fi settings, there's prison settings, there's aliens. The main guy Morgan, it looks like he's a test subject for something.
Yeah, that's
pretty much what we don't really know, but I'm sure we are going to
a willing test subject. It seems
maybe, I don't know.
Well, his schedule is to like meet with a doctor every day or the one individual, and they kind of stay.
That's even if it's real, and that's not like some delusion that he's seeing.
I mean,
but we don't know a lot about it.
We don't know what's happening, but we know it's not the original.
It was a complete reboot, so it's not dead. It's getting rebooted. So just stand by, and we'll see that.
Please stand by.
So Battlefield 1, we were talking about Battlefield 1 taking place in World War 1, following a very segregated type of squad or regiment or whatever in World War 1. We were looking at tanks. We were looking at just all this stuff. We finally saw gameplay, and it was awesome. There was dirigibles or zeppelins, as some may know them. There was big explosions around these big, giant zeppelins.
And who doesn't love big explosions?
As you would expect. Hindenburg didn't work out. That's why we don't have them anymore. I would imagine we also found better ways of travel. But you see,
cue Archer episode.
You see biplane dogfights. You're seeing just destructive environment, destroyable environments, a la Battlefield. Literally all of them since way back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you're seeing all this really cool stuff, and we got a date, October 15th for EA Access. So if you have EA Access, you're going to get to play this October 15th, which is really, really cool.
So, yeah.
Moving on, and then we're going to probably have to take a break pretty soon.
All right, let's do that.
Dishonored 2. If you were a fan of the original Dishonored, Dishonored 2 is, I believe it's the sequel, I think?
I mean, that's my understanding. I actually have not beat Dishonored. I did play part of it.
Oh, okay. The nice thing is, Dishonored, you had this magic aspect to it.
Right.
Dishonored 2... you're able to play the entire thing without any of the teleportation or chain reaction or any of those powers. You could actually, they call it flesh and steel. You can do all of the game without the supernatural powers, which is really, really neat. And I'm pretty excited about that because I like playing the game one way and then I can go back and I can play the game the other way, provided that replayability is there and that there's some uniqueness to it. And I imagine not just uniqueness in the manner in which I play, but the fact that I get to experience different things because I chose a different path, sort of like Mass Effect 3, sort of.
Well, this an interesting thing about Dishonored. I think in the first one, everything was disruptible, also, like all the cutscenes and everything.
Yeah, you can do that. Well, but you had to.
Certain key events that have to happen.
Yeah, you had to get the powers. You couldn't avoid getting the powers. There's a branching storyline that allows that to happen. Xbox One S, the Slim Edition, I didn't say this, August 2016, you're able to get it. So, okay. We can do that. They looked at Gears of War 4. Gears of War 4 looks like Gears of War.
I mean, yay, Gears of War.
You know what? I own Gears of War 1 and 2. And
I own 1.
I might own 3. I don't know. I own, like, the pack. I think it's just 1, 2, and then, like, the map pack or whatever. I wasn't a big Gears of War fan. I know it sold the Xbox, but I was late to the Xbox party.
Well, I mean, it didn't have a very compelling story to me, and pretty basic, flat characters.
Gears of War was the best story ever. That's what
everyone
says.
And there's something you hate or love.
Better than Halo, some people says. I'm like, I don't know. Halo Wars 2, by the way, got announced. And
why?
I don't know why.
Why?
People were like, they really cornered the market and changed the landscape with Halo Wars. And I'm like, what did you play?
I'm going to say, isn't that in the bargain bin, day one?
Yes. What game did you play? Because it was not a commercial success or any other type of success.
It really was not.
You know, no one liked that game except the people that made that. The moms of the people that made that didn't even like it, you know?
Wow. It's an RTS on a console.
Yeah.
Why?
So Xbox Play Anywhere was announced, which was kind of cool. You buy an Xbox One game, and you get to play it on PC as well.
Exactly.
Windows 10.
Windows 10 only,
Which Without having to buy
two copies,
which I really, really like, but I feel like this is the redawning of games for Windows Live.
No, not like this.
I want you to give me a Steam key. Just give me a Steam key or, you know, an Origin key. Like, we don't need another digital distribution platform.
Oh, I need to install Origin, you're right.
I don't want to have to do another Windows 10, the Windows Store. You know, and it's like,
well,
I know this.
I mean, actually, I think they're trying to push Windows 10 has the Windows Store, and I think that's where they're going to do the distributions through, and that's what they're trying to push.
That's fine, but the DRM is still going to be games for Windows Live 2.0. That's what
it is.
Come on.
Also, no one uses Windows Store.
That's like, I could buy something from Steam or I could use the Apple Store, the Mac Store. I'm sorry, I'm going to use Steam.
Yeah.
Like, why would I buy one from one and not from the other when I can get it on PC and Mac and, you know, a Linux OS or Steam OS? I know nobody from Windows is watching, but there's got to be I wonder if there's like some type of petition out there that like partner with Valve. They're not your direct competitors. They don't do anything. SteamOS is not a real competitor to Windows at all.
No.
Or, you know, Steam is not a competitor to Xbox. It could be a platform for you to deliver your games. Just partner with them and figure it out and do it.
Ooh, Psychonauts is getting VR. Sorry.
Yeah, Psychonauts doing VR.
We
we can skip to that. It's getting VR, but it is the same game. Pretty much.
Yeah,
like
okay.
It's augmented. And we saw
these days I'm going to get VR, I guess.
We saw a few things that are getting VR. We saw Battlefield. What's it called? It's
that thing.
I can't remember what it's called. Star Wars Battlefront. is getting like the X-Wing.
A mission, yeah.
It's getting the X-Wing version of it. We saw that there were a few other little VR things for that. Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, is going to be terrifying.
Resident Evil 7 with first-person, you know, VR experiences, so that's kind of neat.
I think, honestly, the horror genre is what's going to define VR.
Final Fantasy 15 is getting Final Fantasy VR for some reason, and that looked terrible. That looked like a waste of everybody's time. Final Fantasy 15 didn't necessarily look like a waste for everybody's time. You know, it looked pretty neat, but, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I really care to be in a VR or whatever. Wrapping up Xbox stuff, Xbox One will get Cortana searching and everything, sort of like that automation, whatever.
Actually, I figured out how that works on Windows 10.
I'm guessing that you have to have a Kinect or a microphone or a headset or something plugged in.
I would imagine.
Microphone doesn't exist on the console that I'm aware of. They're also getting this looking for group thing, so you can like LFG from your console, which is kind of neat. And they're getting background music for the first time in a long time. You can play background music in any of your games from your console. So that's really cool. At least I think it's really cool. I know back in the day, I really enjoyed that about like the original PlayStation. You could, on some games, like take the disc out because it was cached in memory.
Right. Oh, man. PlayStation.
Wipe out. And you just put in your own.
PlayStation would do that. You put in your own music audio.
Yeah, you put in your own CD and you could just listen to it, which is really cool. This is Say World, Get Girl by Hi-Fi Dragons. I'm MG.
And I'm Red
Bear. Catch you after the break on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Save World, Get Girl by Hi-Fi Dragons. I really love that song. It's pretty good. Before, indeed, we were talking about E3. Now we're going to continue talking about E3.
And now for something completely different. What we got now? What's next on the docket?
So we're going to talk about Skyrim. Skyrim came out a while back, 2009, I believe. And it's gotten tons of mod support. It's gotten three DLCs, which is really great. It's getting remastered, PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah,
and it looks pretty awesome. It looks like they took the best mods like for lighting and sun shafts and god rays and all that stuff, and dynamic depth of field and different water shaders and different snow shaders. It looks like they took all the best mods and then just downloaded them
and
made it runnable on those consoles.
Yeah.
And the neat thing is, like, you can still use some of the mods, like the old mods for the PC version. A lot of them are going to work. So
I mean,
that's really nice.
That's cool. I'm glad they're doing that.
We're blurring.
I'm not terribly excited about it.
We're blurring. Well, because we already have Skyrim for the PC.
We've had Skyrim
for
so long. I would like a new Elder Scrolls game.
Well, they may be working on one. You know, they never know. They didn't release one. This was their big thing, and this may be just the year where they remake everything. I guess the market that they're missing out on is, you know, Xbox 360, PS3 that had Skyrim.
Right.
Now PS4 and Xbox One, Skyrim is a big giant game. And a game that we still play on PC.
It is.
And as consoles get closer to becoming PCs, they practically are right now, especially the Xbox One. You know, and certainly sort of the PS4 now that they dropped the weird cell architecture thing they were doing. And everything's got AMD Jaguar processors in it now. It's just their regular.
It's consoles that's keeping AMD alive.
Right. Well, because ATI is certainly not.
No.
And they're, you know, the processor market hasn't
In high school, I actually ran an AMD Athlon and ATI.
We were talking about this the other day.
I loved it.
It used to be big. Now it ain't.
Well, the big thing was you could overclock. And then Intel's you know what? Okay.
We'll put a K on the end. so Skyrim's getting remastered. I don't remember when that is specifically coming out. I think it's coming out later this year, maybe. I can't remember anymore. Anyway, it's gonna be nice. And if you haven't owned or if you've played Skyrim before on say Xbox 360, then this is probably not gonna be that big of a deal for you. If you have never played Skyrim though, definitely look at it. You know, it's really, really nice.
Oh, yeah, if you haven't played Skyrim, what are you doing? Do it now.
Yeah, and it will be out this year, October 28th.
Okay,
so
do it October 28th.
That's the other thing that's coming out October 28th. More games. We're going to talk about Agents of Mayhem. Agents of Mayhem, it's by the same company that did, I think it's Volition, the same company that did Saints Row.
Agents of Mayhem.
Yeah, Saints Row. It looks
Torch of Saints Row.
It looks really, really nice. It was only a cinematic trailer that they had. It was two or three people jumping around, shooting at the bad guy who was trying to take a scientist. He ended up taking the scientist, but it was super, super nice. It looks fun as can be. It looks like they used some assets from some previous games that have gotten canceled. But I mean, it looks fun. It looks fun in the same way Team Fortress is fun.
Isn't that the important part about gaming?
It's like a mix between Team Fortress and Archer and Saints Row, all mixed into one big amalgamation, which is really cool.
I missed that complete announcement. So
Gravity Rush 2 for PlayStation. If you haven't played Gravity Rush 1, it's on PS4. It's definitely on PS Vita. That's where it came out. And they remastered it for PS4. Gravity Rush 2.
Everyone lost their Vita.
Everybody lost their Vita because it didn't work out that well.
It didn't.
We saw some new stuff for Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yes, I know. I'll play Mass Effect 3.
Which I started playing Mass Effect 3 again. They've had a lot of mods that are, it's different ways to mod the thing now.
Cool.
It's really, really, it's looking to be an awesome game. Certainly it's not the game that it's not Mass Effect 4. You know, certainly not, but it is a really good-looking game. We saw that they had, I forget what the ship's name is called. I think it's called Tempest or something. Yeah, it's called Tempest. It looks a lot
definitely
like the Normandy. Looks like a lot like the Normandy. They've got some extra worlds. We still see some Asari. We see some Krogan. We see that there's a female protagonist. You know, and I'm sure that you don't have to have a female protagonist. You can have a male protagonist. It just looks really, really good. If you look at some of the artwork, it looks gorgeous. It's just so good. I love Mass Effect, the entire universe.
I'm a huge fan of 1 and 2, and I haven't played 3. I get it. I'm over myself. I'm going to play it. But
I love it.
The story is amazing, and that's what I like in games. Honestly, I want to be told an interesting story and brought to a nice world that's full of things that are different.
Yeah.
It's called escapism.
I love the fact that we get to go back and we get to continue playing Mass Effect.
Well, no, like a great example. Like, I love Mass Effect to the point, and it's had such an impact. Like you were saying, like the Krogan, and like instantly I'm a little sad because I'm like, man,
I know what happens. I know what happens. The genophage. Yeah. Oh, that genophage.
Like, no, it's a serious like thing. So good job on Mass Effect writing.
Way back in the day, we played a game on PlayStation 1. It's getting remastered.
Yes,
three versions of the game is getting remastered.
This was my first game I purchased for PlayStation 1 when I got my PlayStation.
We're talking about Crash Bandicoot. So Crash 1, Crash 2, and Crash Warp, they're all going to be remastered, and they're going to be getting thrown out to us. And it's
awesome.
So you
too can be a Bandicoot again and jump on crates and get the Oogie Boogie mask.
It's really great. Like, it's super awesome that we're getting that. But I see a comment right now on the Kotaku article. It says, eventually there'll be no new games. We'll just play one set of games that gets remastered for each hardware iteration.
That is my actual complaint right now. Like I was saying, I want a new Elder Scrolls game. I want a remastered Skyrim.
Right. Speaking of remasters, we'll skip a little bit down. God of War. Is getting sort of, I guess it's not getting rebooted, I guess it is a reboot instead of a remaster because we're not in Greek mythology, we're in Norse mythology.
So
the Norse gods, we see dragons, we see, we hear, and I guess I should say, we hear a very nice sound, and that's because the soundtrack is done by Bear McCreary.
Yeah,
and Bear McCreary did Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah,
Bear McCreary did. I think he did some stuff for Walking Dead. But yeah, we see a very bearded Kratos, and he has a child. You actually have an entire button dedicated to managing your child in this game. You teach him how to do a bunch of stuff. And
great, I have to parent now.
You have to be a parent, which is really, really
gross.
I don't know, questionable. Speaking of Walking Dead, Norman Reedus, who plays. What's his face? I can't remember his name. It's been a while.
I don't know. I don't really watch Walking Dead.
You don't watch Walking Dead, man?
I don't. No,
man. Oh, man. He plays...
I'm so over the zombie thing.
Not Rick. What's his name? I can't even remember it. It's been... Like, Fear the Walking Dead is not that good, in my opinion. So the regular Walking Dead is really good.
Are we talking about the films or games here?
I was talking about the TV show. Okay. Norman Reedus plays Daryl. Sorry,
Daryl. Oh, he's the one everyone likes.
Yeah, he's the one that doesn't exist in the comics, but he exists only in the show, and we don't want him to die or we'll riot. So that's what everyone says.
They say us Trekkies are weird.
He is in. He is actually in the new Hideo Kojima game. He was originally going to be in Silent Hills when it was by Konami.
Right. I do
And then the whole blow-up with Konami and Kojima happened.
Oh, I have no idea what you're speaking of.
Right. Well, Kojima got a new studio. It's called Kojima Productions.
Yes,
he and does. It's a Sony exclusive game that's called Death Stranding. It's starring Norman Reedus. Like, photo.
And it honestly does look terrifying.
It looks terrifying. There's this weird baby with like a USB thing and a belly button, and then yeah. Norman Reedus doesn't have a belly button. He's got this weird scar, and I don't know what I watched when I watched it.
That's just, exactly what was terrifying.
There's just crazy stuff going on, so I don't know what I watched,
yes.
But it is. It looks like, I hope it's the new Silent Hills game. I hope Guillermo del Toro helps, you know, do this, because I really want that. And it's, you know what, it's good. I'll say this: when Kojima-san came out on the stage for PS4, wow, that was awesome. He just comes out and he says, "I'm back," and I'm like, wow. It's so good. I drank the Kool-Aid, man.
Totally
I drank the Kool-Aid so
then.
Bad.
Wow.
Good new Spider-Man game. Spider-Man is coming to PS4. It looks like...
I like the one on Xbox. The original
the
Xbox.
The original one?
Yeah. Honestly, because I never played the game. I just like webbed around the city.
I don't know how this one's going to be. It's made by Insomniac, so that's Ratchet & Clank, Sunset Overdrive,
they
games
may
like
get
that.
His attitude right then.
I hope they have the Simmons, J.J. Simmons, John Jonah Jameson. I hope they have that version of John Jonah Jameson in there, so that'd be really good. I play a lot of Witcher 3.
I've noticed.
And some part of the game that I've only recently gotten into because I want the achievements and I want to like complete that part of the game is playing the different vendors and the different blacksmiths and the different innkeepers for Gwent, which is for cards. And you played the game Gwent. And it's just this weird version of like, you know, magic or Heroes of the Storm. It's just, you know, cards that have abilities and then have weight, and you throw them down, and if they beat your cards, they always beat me. I'm terrible at this game.
Good job.
They're actually releasing a separate standalone game of Gwent.
Of course they are, because we need another digital card game.
It's a digital card game, like, I guess, Hearthstone, or just any of those games that have come out recently. And I couldn't be happier. Like,
you're actually excited.
You know, the only way I could be happier is if they could release Cyberpunk 2077, you know, tomorrow and gift me a copy. I would review it, and it'd be great, which would be awesome, you know. We saw a little bit more of ReCore. ReCore is coming from Concept, I think, and another studio. It's made by Inafune, Kenji Inafune, which is he's also in charge of the studio that's doing Mighty No. 9 and Red Ash and a few other things that he is not...
They're a little busy.
There's no shame about just starting a Kickstarter for whatever you want from
Dude,
Inafune.
Dude,
let's just
start
a
Kickstarter for lunch.
Yeah. So we saw some ReCore gameplay. The ReCore was the game where you have a little tiny core, blue core, and you have you play the protagonist as a girl, and you command the core to help you out. Little buddy, yeah. They turn into robots and kind of take control of things, much like Mega Man, sort of take powers and stuff.
I mean, I'm reading something here, an article with the headline of the spiritual successor to Mega Man that you want.
Yeah, so, yeah.
We'll
so
see.
I think Mighty No. 9 isn't really. I mean, it's
a
spiritual successor to Mega Man.
Well, it's not.
You know. That's not necessarily what we wanted, but it's okay in the meantime. ReCore looks nice, you know. We finally got a release date for one of the most anticipated games that in the recent, I guess, 5 years,
That's
10 years?
That's right. Half-Life 3 has not been announced.
No, it's not. It is not coming out, which is unfortunate.
I like how even those jokes have died off at this point.
Yeah,
honestly.
No, we know we're not getting it or whatever. What we are getting October 25th.
I still have hope.
October 25th, what we're getting is The Last Guardian. So this is from Gen Design and Sony Interactive. This is from the creators of Shadow of the Colossus and Ico. It is, if you haven't played those games, what are you doing?
Yeah.
As a gamer, what seriously, what are you doing?
Dude, at least if you haven't played Shadow of the Colossus, really?
Yes, Shadow of the Colossus. Ico you can skip, though you can buy the dual pack, and
yeah,
I think it's about the same, you know, price. But no, it's so good. Definitely, you know, take a look at it. We finally got The Last Guardian, though. That's getting released October 25th, and we saw some pretty cool stuff with that.
Indeed.
We saw some Batman Arkham VR, but we don't really see anything of it. We just know that it's coming out, and that's it. So
yay!
That was cool, but, I mean, that was it. We saw Zelda Breath of the Wind.
Yeah,
that
we did.
Was,
I'm not.
I'm sorry,
Zelda
Breath
fan.
Of the Wild. That's Breath of the Wind.
I'm not a huge Zelda fan, but man, it's another Zelda game.
You know, it's another game that you can play for your Wii U and your Zelda NX. I mean, there aren't many of them that are actually worth it, right? And I hate to say it.
I really want to hear more about Splatoon or something.
Yes.
Especially, I was surprised not to hear anything about Splatoon because it was such a major, huge title that got released and did so much for Nintendo. They didn't touch it.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything about it.
I want, their first party stuff isn't bad. But you have to wonder, like, how done to death is Mario? How done to death is...
Excuse me, but that's what's so fresh about Splatoon.
Right, right. No, that's what I'm saying. It's brand new. It's new.
It's great.
You know, Zelda...
It's a new IP.
I'm not saying Zelda is bad. Complete opposite. Zelda is an awesome game series. But, you know, I feel like you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Clearly, the Zelda fanboys, the Nintendo fanboys will buy it.
Right, yeah. I mean, they're going to make some money.
But don't you want to make a game that... Make another Metroid game. Make another Metroid Prime-type game. And don't make it bad.
Make a bad game.
I'm sorry. Don't make Metroid Prime or Metroid, the latest one, the one for the 3DS. Don't do that one again.
Yeah.
Do a good one. Do a big one. Do one that's actually real. You know? I looked at Zelda and I'm like, that's nice, but it's not like the graphics are amazing. It's not like the game mechanics
don't
that
cry.
I've... Sorry, sorry.
His face right now.
It's not like the game mechanics themselves are really good or...
You
or
can't
look
get
good.
Rupees now from cutting things.
I thought that was the big thing about Zelda.
It
That's all
was,
you can do.
Apparently. Like, I mean, to be fair, I've only played what the original and like went insane. You remember that. And then Link to the Past.
A Link to the Past was the best game
in the series.
I thought
it was a great one.
People like to say, you know, Ocarina of Time or...
I haven't played...
Some people hate on Skyward Sword. I don't think Skyward Sword's bad at all.
Yeah, I must say, I never really... Like I said, I'm just not a huge fan. It's not a bad series by any means.
That was like all that came out, though, of the Zelda Treehouse. Or the Zelda... Treehouse. That's all
they continue talking about Pokemon Sun and Moon. Nothing new, really, there.
No, we knew it was coming out.
I mean, except there's a professor that I've started a fanfic about.
I know that one of the Pokemon kind of looked like Donald Trump. That's what
the weasel.
I've been seeing. Yeah, I've been seeing the Trump
that
weasel.
That was hilarious.
But I mean, you know, other than that, whatever.
But yeah, again, Sun and Moon, something, again, as fans, I'm excited about, going to buy, waiting on it to come out. But, I mean, I'm already going to buy it. They didn't show anything new, really.
We saw Sea of Thieves. That was in the Microsoft conference. I believe that's so you and your friends are on a boat.
Yes, on a boat.
Pashmina, Afghan, and everything. I wish we could play that song in the air, but we're not going to. You're on a boat, and you get to fight other people on a boat. It is sort of like it's a multiplayer game where when you see another boat on the horizon, that's another player. Those are the people. And you don't know, I think that's what the guy said, you don't know what their deal is, what the game is. You just know that there are other people on that boat, and they can see you, and you can see them.
They're from the internet. They want to grief.
Right. So,
honestly,
you and your friends are on the boat. You have different things. You level up different things. It's a crafting sim. It's a crafting game. You're on the boat. You get to do stuff. Swashbuckling, yar-har, yo-ho. So that's cool. Ghost Recon Wildlands. It's Ghost Recon in the Wildlands. Big open gameplay, you know, four-wheelers and stuff.
Days
Gone, it's a zombie game where you're a biker and there are zombies. And I feel like this is Left 4 Dead, over the shoulder Left 4 Dead, with the 28 days later zombies. The zombies' weight affects the structures, you can destroy the environments, things get crazy, there's a really cool dynamic engine, but it doesn't look, it looks very generic.
Again, I'm seriously over zombies.
Yeah. South Park, The Fractured Butthole. I love it. It's the Stick of Truth was spy fantasy. The Fractured Butthole is sci-fi superheroes.
Yeah.
So you're the new kid again, and you get completely rewritten because that was a fantasy game. Even though you were the king, now you are the new kid again, and you get to pick up, you know, where you left off being the new kid. One of the coolest games that I saw, and I think this is the last thing to talk
coolest
about.
Coolest game that you saw, let me know.
I really like Beyond Two Souls by
it was
Quantic
a really
Dream.
Good game.
Well, it was like a visual novel. I feel, you know, and it had Ellen Page in it. It had What's his
Some
face?
Other people.
The Green Goblin from the first Spider-Man series.
That guy.
The guy from, he dressed as a woman in Boondock Saints, or just, yeah, Boondock Saints.
I've actually not seen Boondock Saints. I think I realized this show has so many things I haven't done or seen yet.
It was really, really good. I can't remember what his name was, but I think it was... Whatever.
The internet, continue.
The internet's not helping me over here.
I have a $3,000 computer sitting here, but I'm not going to open it.
Yeah, thanks. no, it was Willem Dafoe. It was Willem Dafoe.
Okay, there you go.
So Willem Dafoe lent and Ella Page lent their likenesses and their voices and brought their characters to life. But so anyway, that was by Quantic Dream, which is headed up by David Cagey, the director and the writer and like the main guy. They're doing a new game called Detroit Become Human, and this is a direct evolution of the 2012 Kara tech demo, where we saw an android getting built and coming to life and realizing that she was sentient. And begging the technician, the sort of the guy that's just quality testing this person, begging them to not replace her memory, not to wipe her memory, not to destroy her, that she promises she'll be good. And it was really nice. They were messing with emotions and just testing the power of the PS3 at the time. That is sort of that character, that idea of that character is where Detroit Become Human is going. We saw two androids, Kara, and then we saw a police model android, which it's so cool just to explore that.
I
love that Blade Runner-esque sort of what is real, what is a person anyway, I just love it. So I can't wait.
Also, good callback to Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, man. Oh. We are out of time.
I do believe.
But we're gonna leave you with two songs. Before we do that, Bear, what is the website? We're actually going to have all of this stuff. All of our thoughts and everything, we'll probably write it up in separate E3 blogs.
All my thoughts.
Not all your thoughts.
I'm apologizing right now, guys.
2 terabytes. I ran out of space on my hard drive. Sorry, man.
It's probably for the best.
Anyway, we're going to have a write-up and everything, but the audio and the blogs and all that stuff is going to be on the website. Bear, what is the website?
The website is exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
Yep. We also have social media. You can go to exppoints.com/social and check all of that stuff out. We will catch you guys next Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. In the meantime, we're going to leave you with Michael Jump In by No More Kings. Now, if we have time, Tutorial Lab Remix by George and Jonathan. We'll catch you later. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
Thanks again for listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.